Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Session. So if you were with us last week, then you know that we have been hanging out, talking to an incredible man, an incredible pastor, an incredible missionary, an incredible human being who has literally embraced the war in Africa, left his home country of America, and devoted his life to helping and giving back. So I'd love to pick up with Sam Childers and welcome him back to The Sessions and continue our conversation from last week. Hey, Sam.
Be here again.
Yeah, it's good to have you here again. I could keep you here for like 10 episodes. So, So wait for it. You know, Sam, last week we were kind of talking about the fact that you feed over 13,000 meals daily to people in Africa.
Right.
You
right.
have now 4 orphanages. See, for those people watching, if you have not seen the film Machine Gun Preacher, it's the Hollywood version of the life of Sam Childers. And the Hollywood version doesn't really even begin to touch the true life story of redemption and transformation and restoration. Talk about what a typical day for you is like in Africa today.
I go to work every day in Africa. We have 3 restaurants. Keep in mind that, you know, as the church, and I'm not picking on the church, I'm just telling, as the church, we think we're doing something good by building an orphanage. But then those children in most orphanages got to leave at 15 years old. They end up in prostitution. So I believe we need to teach a skill and a trade. And I believe it's something that the church needs to focus on. You know, if you want to change a nation, it begins with education. Over the years, we've built 7 schools. We're building number 8 school right now. But there's a lot of kids like me. Education's not going to help. We got to learn how to work with our hands. And that's what my dad done with me. So we have construction crews. We have a bed and breakfast. We have 3 restaurants. We own hotels. We have a commercial farm. With all the businesses we have, we work over 500 people a day.
Wow.
See, when you're working someone and you're building a structure, you're starting to change individuals' lives. When you change an individual's life, you're giving them a future. When you give people a future, then we can stand back and say we're changing nations. But there's something else involved that the church don't realize. It takes professional people to change a nation. What am I saying? Takes doctors, takes lawyers, takes nurses. It takes people that can only get their education in a university. So I challenge the church to start sending these orphans to university. Not 1 year. You can't get a good education unless you have 4 to 6 years. Our organization right now, we have about 30 young people in university. We have them learning to be doctors, lawyers, pilots. We have an unbelievable, and we have success story after success story.
Wow, you just nailed it. You know, it's I often say to people around the world, how do you spell love? Love is spelled T-I-M-E. We have to give time to impact another human being. And that's what you've done. You've given time, you know, and you're fathering. I'm sure you realize you're fathering a nation. Look, this is a fatherless generation in our country, in the Western world also, but you're fathering the fatherless.
Well, keep in mind, though, that I believe there's a lot of people like me out there. Mm-hmm. But you know what's really hard to find? You'll always find people like me. And it's always been from the beginning of time. That's why Christ even put it in the book. It's hard to find senders. It's hard to find people to support. You know, in my hometown, and I don't care if they hear this or not, I know a guy, I won't mention his name, but I mean, people will give $50,000, $100,000 to a little league ball team.
Right.
They'll buy all new uniforms, all new mitts, all new bats, all new balls every year. How can you wear out a bat hitting a ball?
Right.
But yet, the UN says we have nearly 7 million people on the verge of starvation in South Sudan. You know, if I ask you here today and everyone out there listening to me, if I said, where do you think the biggest, largest refugee camp in the world is? Some people would say Middle East. Some people say Turkey. Some people say Syria. The largest refugee camp in the world today is in northern Uganda.
Wow. In the movie, we see you really aching for these young kids and their families who have been destroyed under Joseph Kony, who still hasn't been brought to justice. That was shocking to me recently. I don't know that a lot of people know that. Do you believe that Kony should still be brought to justice?
I'm still waiting on a date night for Joseph Kony and me.
Yeah, I bet you are.
You know, he needs to be brought to justice for the crimes that he has done. You know, I've done bad things in my life, and I had to stand up and pay the consequences for everything that I have ever done. And Joseph Kony is a coward. He's a criminal. He's cut up young people. He's done horrible things that I won't even mention over your show. But I mean elderly women, from cutting ears, noses. And I'll just stop there.
Yeah.
He needs to pay for the crimes. And the only way that he can pay for those crimes is life in prison. He needs to pay for what he's done. And, you know, President Bashir, we just talked about him, financed Joseph Kony. President Bashir was the only president in all of history that had war crime charges on him, genocide charges on him. His regime has come down, and I believe that Joseph Kony is going to come down over the next year to 2 years.
Wow. Well, you know, we can only hope, because and if we're talking about even divine justice, one of the things that's so powerful to me about Africa is the obviousness of light versus dark, good versus evil, Satan versus God, that you see in that country. You have to have instances of many miracles.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I've seen so many. If you get my book, Another Man's War, there's one story on there where they stopped us at the border and they said, Sam, you can't go no further. The LRA is in a village out front. There's over 200 of them. And I remember I said, I had two trucks and five soldiers. I said, come on, we're soldiers. We're going to go. And so we went. We started headed towards this village. And as I was driving, I wrote the song, This is Stupid, This is Stupid, This is Stupid. Because I started saying to God, God, this is stupid. There's 200 of them and five of us. And I could hear God say, drive faster. So as we're driving as fast as we could down this dirt road, we started to come into the village, and huts were burning, and you could see all the chaos out in front. And all of a sudden, I heard God say, tell Peter to start shooting his rifle, or not rifle, okay, machine gun. Excuse me. Peter started shooting his machine gun, and I looked in front, and the enemy started running. And I looked in my rearview mirror, and all you could see was a cloud of dust. They thought an army was coming down the road, and it was only two trucks and five soldiers. This is why in our everyday life that we live, even here in America, this is why it means so much to know and hear the voice of God.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you told that story, because it's one of my favorite stories in your book, because what I learned about you that I didn't get from the film, right? You know, we're talking about the movie and the real life, was that you have walked through Africa really and truly looking and actively listening to the Holy Spirit guiding you, and it has saved your life numerous times.
You know, I believe that we need to hear from God daily, and I believe we all can hear from Him. If we believe as a Christian, we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are the three ways that God will speak to us. When that little thing is moving on your heart or on your mind to help someone, that's not Satan. That's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Most people don't hear the Son, because the Son speaks in a soft, spoken voice that you really got to listen. Most of the time we don't hear God, because God knows it would scare the daylights out of us.
Right.
It all begins by hearing and filling the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden, Christ starts looking at us and he says, wow, this young lady, this young man, they're really starting to listen to me. Then that's when a relationship starts. Everything that I have done, I feel, has been inspired by God. I'll try to tell you a story really quick. Years ago, 20-some years ago, I'm on a mountain in Colorado hunting elk. And I'm up on this mountain with my rifle, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes down on this mountain. And I could hear the voice of God say to me, I'm about to take you out to the nations to carry the message of hope. Are you willing to go? And I looked up and I said, God, we have a serious problem. So all of a sudden, God said the second time, I'm about to take you out to the nations to carry the message of hope. I've been around the world preaching the message of hope 7 times now. And he says, are you willing to go? And I looked up. I said, God, we have a serious problem. So the third time I figured it out, God wants to hear one of 2 words from us, yes or no.
Wow.
And he asked me the third time. He said, I'm about to take you out to the nations to carry the message of hope. Are you willing to go? And I looked up and I said, yes. I walked down out of that mountain to a camper trailer where my wife was. When I opened up the door, my wife grabs her mouth and she says, oh, my God, Sam, what happened to you? And I started telling her, I just met God on the mountain. He said, he's taken me out to the nations. My wife fell to her knees and started crying, not because I spoke to God. It was the first time in 10 years of marriage she ever heard me speak, and I didn't stutter.
What?
God is a miracle-working God. You know, he took a heroin addict. He what? Took a drug dealer. He took a man. I couldn't read or write when I was 20 years old. I wrote 2 books that's worldwide now. I got a third book coming out. He took a man that had no education. He took a man on top of all of that, a man that couldn't speak, and turned me into a motivational speaker where I speak for Mercedes-Benz and Mitsubishi and Fuso. I get booked around the world speaking in big plants to 2,000 workers, 5,000 workers, but I couldn't speak 20-some years ago.
Sam, I did not know that you used to stutter. I did not know.
Listen, that was from the time I could speak as a child. Anyone that knows Sam Childers will tell you he stuttered every other word from the time he was born up until I was on that mountain in Colorado.
Oh, wow. So this explains, you know, I'm sitting here and I listen to you talk and I think about what it's like to have a passion and a calling so deep for something that many people, even people who love you, they won't understand. It's a lonely, difficult road, isn't it?
God has, yes, but God has not the same calling, but God has a calling for us all.
Yeah.
And that don't mean we all got to stand up and say, here we are. But the ones that will stand up and say, here we are. See, I went through total turmoil the first 8 years. I had a car repossessed out of my yard, almost lost my home. Everything in my life was falling apart. People said, Sam, you got to quit Africa. You got to come back home. And I said, I put my foot down and I said, I heard God say go. I never heard him say stop. 20-some years later, I'm living the dream now.
Wow.
See, a lot of people think God is this genie in a bottle, that he's going to pop out, fix a problem, make us rich, make us live in prosperity. You know, something else that a lot of people don't know this unless you follow me on the internet, read the good stories and the bad stories. I had over $30 million go through my hands in the past 13, 14 years, and I gave it all away. I didn't give it away. I built schools.
Yeah.
I feed over 13,000 meals a day. I built training centers. Yeah. You know, that's on Christmas Day this year, I fed 45,000 plus people on Christmas Day in a refugee camp. Last year, we did 20,000. The problem with Americans is we do something and we get satisfied with the little thing we do. You got to remember, big things start little. And the only way they get big, you got to want it in your heart. You got to want to do more. You got to want to step out. You got to want to give more. You know, I preach a lot on the word legend. And one of the definitions for the word legend is somebody that's willing to give generously. And when you say that, most people say, oh, he's going to start talking about money. Every preacher, they always talk about money. The true meaning to a legend is someone that's willing to give generously, but they begin with their own life. And that's what I did.
Wow. Wow. I'm sitting here and I feel Christina, who's a regular part of the sessions, is sitting here and I feel like I just can't even give him up for 5 seconds. Do you have any questions, Christina? Because I know when she's this silent, she's usually completely absorbed in the guest.
Oh, I've got to think. I feel like I had so many questions before, but now I'm just in awe that you've maintained this passion of just pouring out your life for so many years. How would you say, like, how did you deal with, because, I mean, in all life, there's the ebbs and the flow, and there's where you have much and where you have little. And how have you held your heart through that?
I give it all away. You know, I feel what happens, and, you know, I won't mention no names. We don't have to mention names. Right. And there's nothing wrong with living in prosperity. Don't get me wrong. But you got to know your calling. See, God didn't bless me to live in prosperity. Mm-hmm. You know, I live the dream, okay? I stay in beautiful hotels, eat in beautiful restaurants. Usually other people pay for it. If it's me, I'm going to stay in a Holiday Inn Express, you know? But I mean, I stay in five-star hotels. I live an unbelievable life. But see, I believe that when you start holding on to things, the more you want.
Yeah.
So I believe that when you start rescuing children and you start feeding children, the more you want. You know, I have over 800,000 people follow me. I got over 30,000 people follow me on newsletter on the internet. I have over 5,000 people that follow me on hard copy newsletter. It shouldn't be hard for me to raise money, but it is. I'm getting ready to do a 60-day challenge because I get tired of talking about money. And in that 60-day challenge, I want to raise $1.5 million that will cover my budget all the way through the rest of this year and also finish the truck stop where we'll be selling fuel. The supermarket will be done. Another hotel will be done. We're going to buy another tractor at the farm. The 6-story building in Ethiopia is going to be done. You know, I let people ask me questions around the world, and people look at the 6-story building, and nobody asks me why. Let me tell you why. God put this 6-story building on me, the largest project he ever has, and it's almost finished. It's done from the footer up, the wiring's done, doors and windows are in, but nobody asks why are we building it. It's being built in one of the cities that's the fastest growing city in Ethiopia, but it's the fastest growing city for street children. I went out on the streets a few times at night. You'll find little kids, 3 years old, 5 years old, 6, 7, 8, 9, sleeping on the streets by themselves. That's not the bad thing. 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, people will come by and molest those little children.
Oh.
And they'll give them some coins. Those children don't know what they did. Oh. Those children don't understand why they got hurt. But what they do know is in the morning, they're going to eat some bread because they got coins. All I want to do is save more children.
Yeah.
People don't realize the hassle it is to raising money. I should not have that hassle.
Right.
I know people in Africa that gets millions of dollars given to them. One of them sent ceramic tile, an office desk in a container from America to put in their offices. All I'm trying to do is save children. I just want to buy some more food, okay?
Right.
Why is it so hard? Maybe it's because the enemy attacks some ministries and other ministries he doesn't do much because they're not doing much. I don't know. But I know that I need some serious people.
Wow, I got to tell you, you know, Sam, I think part of your story that impacts me so much, and this is where anybody who watches this show regularly knows I'm going to lose it, but your heart for kids moves me because I was molested as a child, raped as a teenager, and so part of your journey with understanding what these kids go through, with stories. I mean, we haven't talked about a lot of stories here, guys. Sam has saved women in the middle of having their breasts cut off, you know, by raiders. I don't understand. It makes me cry to wonder what's wrong with people that we don't give more. And I know everybody watching has that moment where you don't feel like there's enough, but our not enough is usually not enough to buy something extra that we don't need anyway. You know, you're not enough.
Keep in mind, in the U.S., nobody on our board of directors get paid. Mm. You know, and there again, I'm not complaining, and we got to watch complaining because I do very well. But see, it's not enough because I want to do more. Yes. But you have people, you have people writing unbelievable checks to these big, big nonprofits where the board members get paid $180,000 a year for serving on the board. You know, I tell my donors, you can ask me any question you want to ask me. Ask me how much money I make. Ask me what kind of car I drive. Ask me what kind of home I live in. Any question you want to ask me, I open it up to everyone. If you want to speak to my accountant, do you want to speak to my lawyer, whatever you want to ask. If you want to come to Africa, walk the orphanages, you want to come and dish the food out, you can do it all right beside of me. The only thing I'm asking you is help me. Just help me to feed more children.
Right. Sam, do you still believe that one man can make a difference?
One man did.
Yeah.
And they hung him on the cross.
Yeah.
But he did make a difference because that's why I'm here today, because of that one man.
I get it. Yeah, I get it. Me too. Oh, I so get it, you know. And yeah. What is your, I guess if you could see anything, you know, happen from your life, What do you want your legacy to be? How do you want people to remember you?
You know, for a number of years, I know I've probably been living on borrowed time. I get death threats all the time. So a number of years ago, I started setting our organization up that if something happens to me, it's going to go on. Will there ever be another machine gun preacher? I don't think so. I truly believe that the next person to take over my footsteps here in the United States will be a woman, because they're the most unlikely to take over for the machine gun preacher. Oh. Just don't sound right. No, it's being real. It just don't sound right.
Yeah, right.
So and you got to remember, God does the most unlikely. You know, he takes the most unlikely and puts them into position. So I believe that we're getting set up. Part two, you know, there is going to be a part two. Machine Gun Preacher should be in production by 2021. 80% of that money is already assigned over to a trust fund. Mm-hmm. So I already formed a trust fund. My goal is that whenever God takes me out of this world, Angels of East Africa, that's our nonprofit name, Angels of East Africa is going to go on.
Yes.
And so my goal is now, and, you know, I'm smart enough to know this, a lot of nonprofits, a lot of churches, they want to hold on to stuff theirself when they get old. I want young people. I need young people, you know. Yes. And the lady that runs my office here in the U.S., she's like 24 years old, you know. And I truly believe that she'll go on to run Angels of East Africa USA.
Wow.
You know, and we got offices around the world now. We have an office in Warsaw, Poland. They're opening an office right now in Germany. There's an office in Australia. There's an office in Uganda. There's an office in Ethiopia. You know, so we got offices all around the world. They're actually working on an office in Canada right now. All the paperwork is done. They're just waiting on the stuff like the nonprofit to go through.
Sam, I could keep you, I could literally keep you around. I don't know what the rest of your time is like. I could keep you here for longer. I don't want to be disrespectful with your time because we're out of time for this week, but I just, right. I'm so grateful that you took time to, first of all, to meet me and to meet Christina, because you have two fans over here, and I am, I like to call myself a reformed hippie rocker chick who loves Jesus, and I am your fan. Good. I am your fan, and I will support in any way ever. And you have a all home right. here on this show, so whenever you need to get the word out all about right. anything, please know that. And for all of you okay. watching, I just pray that you will have fallen as in love with Sam Childers and his heart and his ministry and what he's doing for a cause that is all of ours, really, if we would only pick up our cross. I'm Cynthia Garrett. You've been a part of the sessions. Thanks for watching. Hi, everyone. It's me, Cynthia Garrett. I hope you're enjoying the sessions. And I just wanted to encourage you to pick up a copy of Prodigal Daughter, A Journey Home to Identity. It's my testimony. And you know, I always say that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimonies are our story of what God has done in our life. So I hope that you'll share this journey with me through my book and through the many lessons that God taught me through sexual abuse, rape, cancer, being a single mom, and dealing with all kinds of issues just like every one of you has dealt with. Prodigal Daughter, I hope you'll pick up your copy today.